devil's eyes in you. On with the show again, on with the show again.
Now I realize there is no compromise. so cool. Devil's Eye is from Golden Feather right there. Coming up in this hour of music, we have a new song from Sweet Jake. Sweet Jake is he's actually from Athen House Band and also In My Coma. And got to get to some, I also said we got some Stan Ridgeway on the way. And Quarter Well, I forgot, doing his version of Big Iron. That's a whole Canadiana thing. Geez, I guess this whole set of, this whole hour is Canadiana music in Hamilton. So there you go. That's not such a bad deal now, is it? Yeah, so in this set, before the Sweet Jake interview, we're going to hear some Bare Naked Ladies covering Bruce Coburn. Lovers in a Dangerous Time, some Skydiggers, I Will Give You Anything, which was an awesome awesome song. Great band. One of those Queen Street bands, much like Blue Rodeo and others from the early 90s, late 80s. Blue Rodeo, Diamond Mine.
And I love shine like a diamond mine. trash lines up at my door just to bring me the news. And all it does is make me kind of wonder why people so eager to be so cruel. When I look into your eyes, the diamond
days go by. We never get to stop and open our eyes. 1 minute you're waiting for the sky to fall, and next you're dazzled by the beauty of it all. Fragile bodies of touch and taste. This fragrant skin, this hair like lace. Spirits open to a thrust of grace. Never a breath you can afford to. Dangerous time. Lovers in a dangerous time. Lovers in a dangerous time. Lovers in a dangerous time.
Such a great cover. It really is. That Bruce Coburn song. God bless Bare Naked Ladies on that cover. They did a really outstanding job on that one. I used to take a lot of heat back in the early 90s because I was fat. Unlike now. Yeah, I was a bigger guy. Not like super huge fat. But I had a goatee the whole nine yards. And I still do. And of course, I'm a bigger guy and I'm wearing shorts. It's the early 90s. And I'm walking around Mac campus going to see bands. And people are pulling on my beard going, come on, man, sing that Bare Naked Ladies tune. And I'm just like, oh, hey, look, it looks like we're going to have a fist fight. How neat is this? I'm not bitter. Not at all. Okay. Coming up, some Stan Ridgeway with the track Camouflage, one of my favorite tunes. And I spun some of the Wall of Voodoo last week. And then I'm like, oh, let's do some more Stan Ridgeway, you know? Cordwell coming up with Big Iron. Big Iron. Just his cover of it. Craig Cardiff. Now, I said he's Canadian, but I'm not totally sure on that one. I don't think he is. And maybe I should stop and Google and correct myself, but I'm just not going to do that. I think we are all adults here. And if I say he's Canadian, then we'll just accept that he's Canadian and just say, well, Gunnar is repatriating him as a Canadian, so we'll just do it that way. Or I'll just Google it myself and go, no, Gunnar, he's not Canadian. He's actually from blah, 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 blah. You have been corrected, Gunnar. You have been corrected, which is fine. You know, get in line. You correct it all the time. With a really nice track called Lake Michigan. Really beautiful track. I really dig it. So go to Google Craig Cardiff and download his music or pay for it, however, which you will, whether it be iTunes or Bandcamp or right from his website, that sort of thing. Do people... Yeah, never mind. That's a whole other thing. I'm doing this whole thing where I start asking questions and I don't have time to answer them or to like do a thing on it, but... I'm wondering where album sales are right now in the middle of this pandemic. I mean, I know a lot of it's online, but I'm wondering at some point, will people be going into stores again and picking them up, you know, as if they ever were as much as they used to, whatever. Again, another whole other subject. Tragically Hip, Wheat Kings on the way. But first, I chatted a little bit, had a nice laugh with this guy. I couldn't air the entire interview because it was like we were talking about other stuff that wasn't quite related to what he was doing. So... whatever, we'll save that for a whole other interview. Sweet Jake from Athenhouse, he has a new song out. He's releasing a couple singles, and in an interview you'll find out that he's been jotting stuff down over the years, and I guess with all this free time now that we all have, he has time to put the music out. So here it is, check it out. Sweet Jake on Steel City Music. My next guest on Steel City Music is someone that I guess I really should have hung out with, not this summer, but the summer before. He never made the interview with Athenhouse, and he's also was in My Coma. I think he's still working with Athenhouse, but he's doing a solo project right now called Sweet Jake, and online there right now is a Sweet Jake. Hi, buddy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I got all my giggles out of the way because when I was like doing the technical thing here, hooking a few things up, I was yapping to you and I was singing Gareth Inkster songs in my head. And I'm like, I got to get prepared to talk to Sweet Jake. And it's like, I got Gareth Inkster on my mind, like I'm some sort of weirdo over here. But let's talk about you. And we'll talk about Gareth another time. hey, man, you sent me the single. I really appreciate the track, Listening to Drivin'.
Well, thanks so much. I mean, it was a product of the quarantine, right? Like you mentioned, I've got, you know, I'm more than happy with my other projects, and I'm still playing with them. But,
yeah,
you know, when you have tours kind of ripped out from under your feet and, you know, you've got new music that you're ready to put out and... it just doesn't seem like the right time. You kind of go a little stir crazy. So this was the perfect opportunity to put down a few things that were just kind of, you know, buried in notebooks, and I just put it out there and see what happens.
When I was listening to the song, there was like, I could hear some definite influences of some Tragically Hip, just like a little bit of a tinge of that.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, I'll start that. But no, I mean, I'm just a diehard Hip fan through and through.
Oh, are you really?
Absolutely.
Oh,
I mean,
okay, good.
I remember, I was obsessed with them from the time I was probably 8 years old, digging through mom's record collection. And,
yeah.
And just, you know, you can see how their writing style has changed over the years. And I would definitely not consider it a direct comparison, but I do try to take some level of influence from them. And,
sure.
And, you know, use that however I can.
Okay, yeah, so the influences of the Hip are one of the things that contributed to your formation of, I guess, love of music and writing. But were there other styles that come with it? Because to me, when I listen to this song, and I'm jumping out on a limb here because I haven't heard the rest of your recorded material, is it all that kind of country-esque kind of vibe to it?
Yeah, so pretty much like what I've gotten under like the Sweet Jake moniker is exactly that, kind of that Americana country type of thing. Lots of cowboy chords and just letting music kind of flow out, you know, finding a chord progression that I like and just, you know, taking some words that you've got buried in notebooks, going back through there, and kind of, it's fun to, you know, in that way to explore what you've written like a year and a half ago and how it comes back and meshes with something now. And with Athenhouse, we're playing, you know, this nice kind of folk rock. It's pretty mellow, but it's still got some edgy blues riffs to mm-hmm. it and some jazz influences. And then within My Coma, obviously we're rocking a little harder with the alternative side of things. So this was just kind of, it really just started as an outlet for me to play a different style of music. Because I find that I don't really stick with the same stuff over and over again. I'm not constantly at home, writing blues licks or doing, this or that. Whatever happens to be influencing me at that particular moment. And Sweet Jake's just kind of the culmination of years of, writing bits and pieces here and there and wanting to make it something a little bit more.
Now you talked about the progression of how you're writing a song or your material. Are you the type of writer that is influenced by real life experiences or culture that you're taking in from others?
I would definitely say it's more of a personal experience. Like I know, Driven, for instance, it's a song that I wrote about moving away from home. So when you listen to the track, it sounds like it's a breakup. And that was just kind of more of a, I'll say just like a popular choice, so to speak. I don't think anyone wants to listen to a song called I Miss You, Mommy.
There are some.
I think my mother for one, but really it was just kind of, that experience, like moving away from a small town, and just going to make it on your own in a big city and just, all of the emotion that can kind of come with that, especially on that, that 3-hour drive as you're just sitting there with the car packed and you're, all alone with the radio. And, sure. And that's really what Driving's about. And I would say that, the majority of my material is pretty much drawn on those real life experiences. And I try to throw in some, metaphors here and there just so it's not, so straightforward, but, it's definitely influenced by real life, and then I just try to throw a fun twist on it where I can.
The when you you released this track, I believe on New Year's Eve, I saw a video for it on YouTube a little while back. It was just a static photo, that sort of thing. With this single, are you going to be just releasing a series of singles leading up to an LP, or just a series of singles for an EP?
So back in April, I was working with a good friend of mine, Andrew Ballone from Silverton Hills, and he really wanted to work on some of his production chops because I know that he had produced his band's most recent record at the time, and was trying to explore that avenue professionally. And so he and I just kind of got chatting, and it seemed like a good fit for him to help me work on this project. So we did two songs back in April and May. And we produced those through the summer and the fall over a period of time. And so I've got one more song that's called March 14th. That's going to be coming out probably on March 14th. I haven't set the release date yet, but that one's about how I met my partner actually 6 years ago at a St. Paddy's Day party. And neither one of us fully remember it, so that's what that one's about. But it's a cute little love song. It's a little bit more mellow than Driving, but along the same line for sure. As for future material, I do have a bunch of other demos, and I plan on working with Andrew again whenever this next lockdown's over, and getting back into the studio to put some other stuff together. That said, I've been more and more intrigued by the idea of taking this to more of like a full band approach. So I really don't know exactly what the future holds, but I'll definitely be putting out some more Sweet Jake material. Hey, this is Sweet Jake. Check out my new single, Driving, and find me online at Hey Sweet Jake.
Driving 21, all I see is you. Disheveled and alone in my review. I wanna call, say I love you, that I'll visit soon. There's too much to do, babe, but I can't. So mad, thinking I was
grass of the prairie. We kings of all treasures buried. And all you hear are the rusted breezes pushing around the weather vane, Jesus. Simple lighter, he sees the killer's fate. Maybe it's someone standing in a killer's place. 20 years for nothing, well, that's nothing new. Besides, no one's interested in something you didn't do. It's a museum and we're all locked up in it after dark. The walls are lined all yellow, gray, and sinister, hung with pictures of our parents' prime minister. A nation whispers we always knew that he'd go free. They add you can't be fond of living in the past. 'Cause if you are, then there's no way that you're gonna last. We kings and pretty things.
Everything. Pain's it Friday. Makes it worth the trembling, worth the ache, worth even mentioning.
To the town of Alfield, strange one finally. Hardly spoke folks round him, didn't have too much to say. No one there to ask his business, no one there to make a slip. Stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was early in the morning when he rode into the town. He came riding from the south side, slowly looking all around. He's an outlaw loose and running, came a whisper from each lip. And he's here to do some business with the big iron on his hip. The big iron on his hip. In this town and live an outlaw by the name of Texas Red. Many men had tried to take him and left many men were dead. He was vicious and a killer though he used 24, and the notches on his pistol numbered 1 and 19 more. 1 and 19 more. Now the stranger started talking, made it plain to folks around. Was an Arizona Ranger, wouldn't be too long in town. He came here to take an outlaw back alive or maybe dead. And he said it didn't matter, he was after Texas Red. After Texas Red. Wasn't long before the story was relayed to Texas Red. But the outlaw didn't worry, men that tried before were dead. 20 men that tried to take him, 20 men that made a slip. 21 would be the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Well, the morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 20 past 11 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas Red and not clear leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. The big iron on his hip. It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered around. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip. When he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron. When he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
Jungle Wars of 65. My weapon. been jammed and I got stuck way out and all alone. And I could hear the enemy moving in close outside. Just then I heard a twig snap and I grabbed my empty gun. And I dug in scared while I counted down my fate. And then a big marine, a giant with a pair of friendly eyes, appeared there at my shoulder and said, wait. When he came in close beside me, said, don't worry, son, I'm here. If Charlie wants to tangle now, he'll have to die. I said, well, thanks a lot. I told him my name and asked him his. And he said, the boys just call me Camelot. The brush and all around our ears. It was then I saw this big marine light a fire in his eye, and it was strange, but suddenly I forgot my fear. Side by side we took our battle stance, and I wondered how the bullets missed this man. 'Cause they seemed to go right through him, just as if he wasn't there. And the morning we both took a chance and ran. And it was near the riverbank when the ambush came on top of us, and I thought it was the end, and we were half. Then a bullet with my name on it came buzzing through a bush, and that big marine, he just swatted with his hand, just like it was a fly. When I turned around, he was pulling a big palm tree right up out of the ground and swatting those Charlies with it from near the kingdom come. When he led me out of danger, I saw my camp and waved goodbye. He just winked at me from the jungle and then was gone. And when I got back to my HQ, I told him about my night and the battle I'd spent with a big marine named Camelfly. When I said his name, a soldier gulped and a medic took my arm and led me to a green tent on the right. He said, you may be telling true, boy, but this here is Camelfly, and he's been right here since he passed away last night. In fact, he's been here all week long. But before he went, he said Semper Fi, and said his only wish was to save a young marine caught in a barrage. So here, take his dog tag, son. I know he wants you to have it now. And we both said a prayer for a big marine named Camelfly. Whoa, camouflage. Things are never quite the way they seem. Was an awfully big marine. So next time you're in a jungle fight and you feel a presence near or hear a voice that in your mind will lie, just be thankful that you're not alone and you've got some company from a big marine boys call Camelfly.
Whoa, camouflage, You're listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Ladies and gentlemen,
hey, Steel City Music, your friend Gunnar here. In this hour, we chat with Sandy from The Spiral Theory, and we're going to spin the entire album, an LP, 8 songs, not an EP, but an LP, and we discussed that a little bit in this interview as well. Nice little band, I believe out of the Etobicoke, Toronto area, and a little reminiscent of some REM there and some other influences as well. And they strike me as a band that might be just a little bit older in some ways, as far as musical taste, that sort of thing. But I don't know their age. Whatever. I'm just spitballing here, folks. I'm just a radio guy. I'm just a radio guy. We will hear the songs from the album Time of the Blackened, Game Day, Open Your Eyes, Joker's Game, Dirty Water, Shoreline, Dreamality, and Brace for Echo. All of it can be found at thespiraltheory.com. So go there, download their music. I think you know what to do. So here's the interview. Gunnar here, Steel